Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
So with Star Wars coming out in December this year, we decided to bring together three of the most genius podcasting minds from Twitter. Myself, Barstool Kenjack. We got Jeff Lowe, at Jeff D. Lowe, and TV Corporate himself, at Trobollins, together to discuss both the Obi-Wan spinoff coming up and also the some of the conspiracy theories that we found around kind of lurking in the shitpost world on Reddit, on what are some of our other sites here?
Cinema Blend, Screen Rant,
and many more.
The clickbait sites, yeah.
The guy at the convenience store who I talk about Star Wars with.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to jump straight into it with some thoughts on the new Obi-Wan movie. So Jeff, you want to start out with that?
Yeah. Is everyone here on board with this movie? Just do we all like it? I like it. I'm a fan. But I know there's some people who are like kind of pissed off about it for some odd reason.
I think if they weren't making the Han Solo movie, I would be pissed off about it. But since they're making that, and that's kind of the one I want to see, it's just kind of another added movie. So I'm not too mad about it. The thing about Obi-Wan is there's a lot of ways they can go with the character, but I feel like for the average like moviegoer, you know, you have the prequels and then you have the span of time in between the prequels and A New Hope, and then he dies in A New Hope. Spoiler alert. You either cover that time in between the prequels, which I think is already being done with was it Rebels, the TV Rogue show?
He was in Clone Wars, which we're actually going to reference Clone Wars and Rebels when we talk about theories too, because there are so many theories about those shows. But yeah, he just appeared in Rebels last season. He actually kills Darth Maul. And he's like on Tatooine, and then he was in all of Clone Wars because he's with Anakin. And it's the good part between Episode 2 and 3 that they showed you none of.
So here's my pitch, okay? Because I feel like that territory is covered. Obi-Wan's ghost adventures. All right, so it's just him as a Force ghost in like the Force ghost world, and like the Stranger Things upside down kind of alternate dimensions are so hot right now that he just kind of goes around and like, hangs out with Yoda and Anakin and just has wild, wacky adventures like as a blue hologram Force ghost. I personally, if I were in front of a team looking for ideas, this is what I would pitch them. But, I know it's unconventional, but
I like the thought though of him like kind of like spying on Luke when he figures out that Leia's his sister. He's like, "Oh shit!" And then he has to figure out to unravel all of those like lies he told them over all those years. So you want an older you? Excuse me, not you, an older Obi-Wan. Then
I think as old as you can make Obi-Wan, like the better audiences will receive it. Yes. Or what you could do is have just like a low budget mystery science theater type movie where he's a Force ghost, like watching the events unfold after his death and just commenting on it. Like just, so really you're just replaying Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi and maybe even Force Awakens for 9 hours while the actor for Obi-Wan sits at the front and just is like, yeah, man, I don't really like what's going on right now, except in like a British accent.
Yeah, so it's just the silhouettes of all of them watching the movie theater, like MST3K.
If you think about it, too, though, because one of the most famous lines he has, he says, use the Force, Luke, when he's in the trench run. I want to know why he didn't jump in before, like, Darth Vader cut his hand off or, like, threw him out the window in Cloud City. Like, why did he choose not to bump in at those moments? He's like, I'm too busy right now. I want to know those parts.
Well, if he was on a ghost adventure in canon, it would explain it. Like, so you could say, like, Ghost Yoda and Ghost Obi-Wan are going out to find like the hidden ghost Kyber crystal that had been, locked away by other dead Jedis. And then he like looks through his little Force hologram and sees Luke dangling off of like the whatever it was at Cloud City. And it's like, man, I really wish I could be there right now, but I'm like, I got my own life here. You know,
yeah. One of the five times I saw Rogue One in theaters, that's a real fact. There were people behind me who were only there for Alan Tudyk. And I swear every time K2SO said something, they would clap and they'd be like, yes, he's so good. So good. Like, okay. I mean, Alan Tudyk's best role is still Steve the Pirate from Dodgeball, but K2SO was pretty good.
That sounds like a fan base I need to do some more research on. Like, Alec Tudyk fans, like, at Twitter.com. Like, there's an entire handle, like, dedicated to pictures of Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, like how there's, like Taylor Swift, at Taylor Swift updates, like, at Alan Tudyk
updates.
Clan, yeah.
It's like 15 years ago, Alan Tudyk was Steve the Pirate. Let's all remember this. It's like 13 retweets, 23 likes.
So yeah, moving into some of the conspiracy theories, what do you think is the best one you saw during your research?
Do you want to start with Snoke?
Yeah.
We'll start with Snoke. I mean, the best Snoke one for me, and I the more and more we see pictures and hear about it, I just don't think it's going to happen. I just want him to be Darth Plagueis. I really do. Mm-hmm. He's referenced in the Revenge of the Sith. You know, how he creates life. He basically, it's alluded to that he created Anakin. That's why he was birthed to a virgin, or however they phrase it. Like, I forget exactly what Shmi Skywalker says. It's amazing.
There was no
Shmi Skywalker, another great character.
The names were just great in the prequels.
Yeah.
Like, Watto.
Yeah.
Boss Nass, like,
yeah, you know, Dexter Jester, yeah. Really, the diner scene, another classic.
My God.
How about this? Battle droids. It's like, what do we call these things? Well, they're droids and they go into battle. So, kind of self-explanatory.
You can look at the behind the scenes for Attack of the Clones and you can see George pour over mold cutouts of Dexter Jester, the owner of the diner, and he pours over them for a long time. It's like just pick the damn head already.
Yeah,
it's a diner owner. He's in the movie for three minutes max. Yeah, that's the bane of that existence. But off track. Back to Plagueis. The
cloners.
They basically say. it makes me weep talking about these movies. I can't keep it together. Plagueis created life or whatever. He Palpatine killed him. The Emperor killed him. It's not in canon that he's a Mun or whatever it's called, like that long face. So that doesn't really matter with how Snoke looks. So I think the looks don't line up. I mean, there's like a whole, again, you can deep dive on Reddit why it won't be Plagueis or whatever. And Pablo Hidalgo, who runs the story group for Star Wars, and Andy Serkis, who plays Snoke, has said it's a new character. But Plagueis makes so much sense. He's been around so long. He can create life. He's so complex, and he can take that angle of, you know, kind of down the middle here and there, and he's been around forever. So Plagueis for me is my number one who I want it to be, and I don't think there's many after Plagueis, with the exception of a brand new character, that even make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's some real stupid shit out there.
Oh,
some real dumb ones.
I love those stupid ones. They're my favorite. But going back to Plagueis, I feel like Plagueis would be the only thing that would make me feel like the stakes are really high in the sequel trilogy, because he would be like the underwriting force of evil across all nine movies. So like just kind of behind the scenes in the first six. And then, you know, you had the whole the opera scene, which was just great exposition. Have you heard the story of Darth Plagueis the Wise?
Yeah. Well, actually, so the music in the opera scene is apparently, and I can't even say apparently, because it is. And I always kind of didn't look at it because I just didn't care and thought, this is stupid. Like, you're looking too much into, like, when people break down Inception, love Inception, but they break down the music so much. It's mm-hmm. like, just watch the movie. Just to, like, you're going too far. That's what they were doing with this opera scene music. But I actually listened to it again today. And it is very similar. The music that is played when he explains, the Emperor explains Plagueis, is basically the same music when Snoke is talking to Kylo Ren. So the tie in there makes sense. And I know George isn't doing the movies anymore, but it's John Williams still. Like, there has to be. That's the thing I hang my hat on most with Plagueis, is the music sounds so similar. And there's just an undertone there. And they do the same thing a little bit with Rey. I think you hear some undertones of like Leia's music, which I think I'm pretty sure we'll get into that one too. She's not Leia's daughter. But so I don't want to read too much into it, but I think it also at the same time lends a little light into who Snoke might be.
Yeah. Well, how do we know? Because obviously Pelagius is disfigured. That's what we've seen in like all the latest stills and everything. So do we know how Pelagius died at the Emperor's hand?
I forget exactly what he says. I don't know if it's canon. I don't think it is canon. I think he just says in that opera scene that he killed him.
So yeah. If you can imagine if that was like if he did force lightning, anything like that, that would cause like a pretty significant facial disfiguring, which is kind of what his face looks like, almost as if it was melted.
In that story, it's implied that he creates life with Anakin as well. So
yeah,
his face looks like someone took a lightsaber and put it underneath his jaw and then lit it up. Because the marks go through his, I think it's the left side of his face underneath, and it's really disfigured. And then he has that huge scar on the top of his skull. So it almost looks like that. I don't know. I think the thing is like, if they're saying it's a new character, I think there are ways you could like creatively lie around that by saying like, maybe, you know, Plagueis transferred his body into someone else. Then you get into this whole category where something becomes too far-fetched, it's stupid. And there have been a few theories around, like, again, going to spoiler alert, about how the Super Star Destroyer, but it's like a Star Destroyer that's even bigger than the Super Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
It's a mouthful. Being, like, basically a life support chamber for Plagueis. Like, he needs a constant, like, infusion of, we just say it like the Force right now, and I don't know if you go, like, the blood route, because that's kind of cliche. But, you know, then you hear lines in the Force Awakens about how he's only using you for your power, said to Kylo Ren and things like that. And you kind of wonder if he's like some sort of malevolent being who just feeds off of Force energy to sustain his life form, which would kind of go into the whole, like, you know, territory of needing or using the Force to create life and keeping himself alive using Force.
Yeah, and I think in the whole new character thing, too, again, I think they run the risk of, like you said, of them making it too far-fetched and too out there. Because, again, if it's a guy that's been around that long, why was like, where was he before? And I guess the idea is that he could be in the kind of like the undiscovered regions of the galaxy, like the dark regions, and there's maybe like some hidden Sith temple and all that. I don't know. I think you're running the risk of making them, because I mean, look, we can hate the prequels as much as we want, but they're still part of the whole thing. You know, you run the risk of making the story just kind of a little off. Like, right. I know people want new material and they want all this new stuff. Well, I mean, there's an option for that following this new timeline, you know, this added on timeline. You know, we can create new stuff later on. Like, you still have to wrap this story up. If Kylo Ren is Han Solo's son, like, guess what? You're still in this old story. You know, if Luke is there, you're still in this old story, so you still have to tie it together from the prequel. So I'm a little concerned that he's not Plagueis, because the campaign is so hard from the Star Wars people to make him not Plagueis, is what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be, you know, them throwing everybody off. I wouldn't put it past J.J. Abrams to set it up like that in the first one. So
it'd be kind of funny if almost they just, like, leaned into the punches and just had every single reveal is exactly what everyone thinks it's going to be, like Rey, Luke's daughter, like Plagueis is Snoke, and like there's no surprises whatsoever, and that is the ultimate surprise to Star Wars.
But they do it. It's like the last 5 minutes of Episode 9, and it's Jar Jar in front of a fireplace closing a book. Like, he's like, well, and that's the story of Star Wars. And in case you don't know, Rey is a Skywalker and Snoke is Plagueis. Thank you. Just like this would just like piss the most people off.
So I think we kind of agree on Plagueis. I think that might be that's the most plausible. But let's get into the best part, the really, really bad theories. So we have a little bit of a list here. I'll run down the list. Darth Maul was one, but he just died in Rebels.
Yeah.
So that ain't him, because that's his second death now. I think you're done. I think at this point, game over. You're dead.
Plus, with going back to the action figures, which just like the nerdiest thing I think I've ever said, but Snoke is like 7 feet tall. Like it's established like he's long and lean. And I know Mun is not like canon anymore, but he's almost like kind of not human. He's like a humanoid. And I know Darth Maul's not human, but they're obviously not the same being, unless it's like Darth Maul's a ghost, at which point I would walk out the theater.
And then, and literally everybody we're about to read is not, none of them are tall.
No.
Yeah.
So the next one, this is another theory. He's the aide. Yeah, he's the aide to Darth Vader in Rogue One. Like, he's the guy that knocks on the door and says, Krennic is here to see you. And he apparently also appears in Return of the Jedi, like, as one of the Emperor's little galactic supervisors. So there's a theory that that guy who had 15 seconds of screen time in Rogue One is Snoke.
So he's just not a bureaucrat.
Yeah, he's stuck around. The next one's Mace Windu. So that's ridiculous. I think Mace Windu is more ridiculous than the 15 seconds of screen time aid. Because, first of all, let's call a spade, Snoke is like a whitish-yellow skin tone.
And 20 feet tall.
Yeah, and he's again, very tall. So unless, like, Sam Jackson got stretched out, you know, his character. I don't think Mace Windu is Snoke. That'd be a bizarre reason for him to come back and just be very evil, considering he was killed by evil.
Yeah, and the weird thing is Mace, as a Jedi, was angrier than almost every single Sith
he
character.
He's an ass, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I think the thing that the bow on the top of the whole Mace Windu thing is the idea of the purple lightsaber. It's like that down the middle mix of red and blue Jedi things. We were like, oh, he's kind of, you know, in between. And here, you want a nerdy comment. The novelization of The Force Awakens, which is sitting on my desk, I believe he alludes to he alludes to good and evil. So Snoke, I believe, can channel good and evil. So I guess that's why people say that. But again, that, I mean, the Mace Windu thing is, it's absurd.
I know, I agree. And I think you're right. Like, I feel like the next two movies are going to explore the concept of the gray Jedi, which is like really, you know, either side was wrong because you can't be truly good and you can't be truly evil because obviously that's bad. But, you know, that's why you hear Luke saying is that the Jedi must end, is their failures are maybe drawn in terms of just not embracing a little bit of the dark side. And I don't know. I mean, that's a bad explanation, but I feel like when you get into it, like, yeah, that makes sense. And I think like Snoke's thing is, you know, and going back to the Plagueis theory, is one reason he may not be Plagueis is I don't think Snoke is a Sith. And if Snoke is Plagueis, then he's disavowed the Sith because I think he feels that light side is also powerful as well, even though he's an evil character. I'll let the screenwriters explore that idea. I'll give Mace Windu, that theory, 0 out of 5 stars.
it's one of the worst. I don't think it's the worst because I'm going to get to the worst in a second here. We're going down the list. There's a character named Gallius Rax, but I'll just go into the idea of any book character. I think another, if they actually do that, that's awful.
Yeah.
Because nothing is, I think, more offensive as like a moviegoer, especially of a franchise this big, if it just ends up being a book character.
Yeah, I think the whole idea is to try and reference a book, like you're saying, to would be, not that Star Wars is ever averse to slapping their audience in the face, but it would be a real slap in the face to try and reference them out of the book. I think they would either, the idea would that they should go with is to either have it a brand new character, like we've been saying, or to have it be a callback and a reference to something that's more nostalgic, which would also work. But to have it something like this, where it's like the really hardcore guys who read the books, and like I've read a couple of them too, like maybe might know, or the Redditors would know, like that would be a real slap in the face.
And then you say callbacks, we can hit a couple of these other ones here. Emperor Palpatine, he's like back from the dead and somehow once again stretched to be very tall.
Yeah.
Somehow, that's another theory people have.
Well, maybe
he got thrown. Yeah, he got thrown down the chamber and he landed on a pole, like on his back, and then it stretched out both sides of his body, like in a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Well, maybe the core drive of the Death Star is something like a black hole generator, and like black holes do stretch you out, and like some sort of anti-grav situations just kind of stretching him out a couple feet before not killing him for some reason.
Another one that I hate.
I hope this is the one. I hope this is it.
Jar Jar?
Yes.
Because that's the one that was there for a while. So Andy Serkis came out and said it's the dumbest thing he's ever heard. There's another guy who does a podcast called Steel Wars, Australian guy, he's a comedian, and he has created this campaign saying your Snoke theory sucks. And they gave Andy Serkis like a pin or something, and they said, what's your worst Snoke theory? And he says, it's Jar Jar Binks. Like, easily, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I just think it'd be great to learn, like, how messed up was the event that drove Jar Jar to be Snoke? Like, like, what did he see? What did he experience that drove him to that depth of evil? Because that's one that, like, I just recently discovered that some people kind of buy into it. I just thought it was a joke. I thought it was like, oh, yeah, like, take
people,
the
people think it's real.
Take the dumbest Star Wars character in history, except for the expanded universe Scorpion that could transform into Darth Vader.
The worst expanded universe one to me is that the robot that blows up in A New Hope, and then Luke and Uncle Owen have to take R2, is force sensitive. And no, and he's, the robot is for, it's like R4-D4. I have him on my shelf somewhere. Yeah. This stupid character, he blows up. And the theory is that he is force sensitive and blows up on purpose for the greater good of the galaxy. So R2 can deliver the message to Obi-Wan. Yeah. Okay, sorry. Back, you could go back to Jar Jar.
You read the 700-page novelization of R4-D4.
That's like, the spin-off we need.
Right. Yeah, my favorite Snoke theory, and also I think it's like, it would be kind of cool, like from a standpoint in terms of like, this would be really dumb, but it is, Snoke was one of the Imperial guards for Palpatine.
Yeah.
So he, okay, and that would explain like why he has an obsession with his Praetorian guards being red and being very similar to the Imperial guards. But then you go back that unless both Imperial guards were over 7 feet, I don't know if it would work out. And I think even then they're like a similar height to like Palpatine and everyone else. So I don't know.
Well, if you think about Jar Jar as a character, he kind of like, he rises his way up the ranks pretty quickly. Like he starts off almost like this like bumbling buffoon in Gungan City or whatever. And like now he's like a pretty high level bureaucrat for Naboo. Like there's almost seems like there's nothing he can't do. And to just embrace the dark side, maybe to like get back at the world for striking him with like just the purest, like, klutzy, dumbass body and, like, brain. Maybe that's his, like, ultimate fuel in the world.
Remember when he was a senator?
Yeah.
Like, that's
yeah.
my favorite. That's another, again, we're just, this is like, this is going to turn into, like, a Hasbro podcast. But one of my favorite Star Wars toys I've ever seen is Senator Jar Jar Binks. Like, that's the one you get. You don't even get, like, the war on Naboo Jar Jar. You get the senator. The one who's talking about, like, policies and, like, trying to push bills to the Senate. Yeah.
I think maybe one day we should do a podcast where we compare the senators in the, of the Galactic Senate to like actual real-life senators.
And you might have found this trail because I know you were doing a lot of deep dive theories that there's a theory that E.T. is a Sith Lord. Because E.T. is in Phantom Menace. He's in the background as a senator. And there's a theory that all that E.T. the movie is connected to Star Wars and that E.T. is a Sith Lord.
Wait, but it did say a long, long time ago. So how old is E.T.?
Yeah, how old really is E.T.?
It's his finger lighting up is like him trying to generate force lightning on Earth, which like somehow doesn't like work.
There's like not enough force power. Like nobody believes in the force, so it can't generate on Earth.
Exactly. I mean, I think there's ways we could make this work. I mean, can you imagine like E.T.? He's already wearing the hood and the bike. He's already got the robes. You imagine him just like stepping out and then just like crushing some Reese's pieces and igniting like a tiny little lightsaber like Yoda.
He's flying.
And they're floating. He's using the force. He finally figured out how to use the force on Earth, which is like why it's such a critical scene.
The idea of him spearing people in the head with Reese's pieces is just ideal. That's got to be it.
Yeah. Wait, so what's next on our list?
This has become a popular one recently. I've seen this on a few blogs. And, like, again, those clickbait sites. Is Chancellor Valorum, one of the most integral parts of all the Star Wars movies with the least consequential role, basically. He is a wet blanket for about 5 minutes of the Phantom Menace. He gets kicked out of power. He gets overthrown. And really, that's the end of the galaxy up until it's saved in Return of the Jedi, because him getting kicked out and Palpatine coming in, that just sets the wheels in motion. People are saying that maybe Chancellor Valorum, who we have no backstory on at all, after he like slouches down sad in his chair in the middle of the Senate, they're like, he could be Snoke. He could have just waited all those years, not even try to overthrow Palpatine in the next few movies, but wait even longer. yeah. and become Snoke. So that's another.
Wait, so how old? He was already pretty old in the prequels, and then to age him all the way through the sequels and into the next generation of Star Wars films, like he has to be like what, like 120?
Yeah, he would be very old.
But he's using the Force to sustain life, which is why he looks decrepit. I can't believe I'm defending this dumb theory, but here I am. argue about anything Star Wars related.
Vorm was seriously, he was, I think, one of the most worst done characters in the entire franchise because he had that such insane pivotal role, and like he did not raise a finger to stop
you
himself
and I
being impeached.
Talked about it. We talked about like recast and prequels and stuff. Is that two characters that were just so underdeveloped in the prequels were Shmi Skywalker and Chancellor Valorum.
I can't.
And
good old Shmi was like, okay, you can take my kid. That's fine.
Yeah. They're so underdeveloped. And the two things, the two plot points that they're centered around, Shmi letting Anakin leave to go destroy the galaxy, and Chancellor Valorum being voted out of power, those are huge moments, and they have such inconsequential characters and like in terms of character development, the ups and downs of those prequels. I mean, to go from the first movie, which was blatantly racist on so many levels, with all of those characters from the guys in the Trade Federation ship
to Watto,
the Gungans. I mean, that movie is so absurdly racist. Right?
I remember, the marketing blitz for The Phantom Menace, like, I think I was, like, in eighth grade when it came out. And, like, everyone else, I got super excited. And I collected those action figures in the 90s, like, the Power of the Force. And then I started collecting the Phantom Menace ones. And I started collecting, like, other things that were being promoted, which is at the time was, like, everything. So they had, like, Diet Pepsi cans. Like, the Pepsi cans had, like, Star Wars characters on them. So yeah. I lined them all up on, like, one of my shelves because I was collecting them, and one of them was Newt Gunray. Like, and so Lucas was in there. He's like, no, you got to promote this character. Like, forget about Darth Maul being on everything. Like, we got to have the guy who like wants to do like trade blockades, which like is a pivotal point of
the meddling bureaucrat needs his own promotion.
I think the next one is who are Rey's parents? Cause I think we all kind of agree on the gray Jedi. And and you look at the first poster for Last Jedi, you look at some of the stuff that's come out already. When she has a lightsaber, there's almost always a red beam crossing with her lightsaber. I think that is such a hint of what she is and how she's going to be able to kind of channel both the good and the bad. Because again, back to the novelization of The Force Awakens, that's also alluded to, that she can kind of channel or get the sense of both good and bad. And so I think we'll talk about her parents too, because I think that's a big thing about that is who her parentage is. Because I think she has to have some sort of parentage. You want to start with the ridiculous ones, or you want to start with the ones we like this time?
I say we start with the ridiculous and then go into the actual feasible.
Okay, so the shittiest one I've seen is that Rey is the daughter of Boba Fett.
She's on the casino planet, and she's playing, like, space roulette, and, like, Boba Fett just pulls up onto a table next to her. Yeah. And no, there's just, like, a 45-minute Quentin Tarantino-like dialogue sequence that, like, ends with the reveal. He's like, oh yeah, I'm your dad. The one I think is the dumbest one is that Rey is a direct clone of Anakin.
Yep. This one's been around for basically since Force Awakens came out, and it still has a lot of steam on it. People still really think that she is Anakin Skywalker.
So when I think about this and I think about Rey's parents, I got to put on my Darren Rovell hat. And I got to think about what is best for the marketing of like these movies. It's the Skywalker story, right? And you're presented with different options of Rey potentially being a Skywalker. And the one you pick up is that she's a clone. And I feel like people going forward, if they wanted to do more with Rey's character after the ninth movie is made, if she was a Skywalker or a Kenobi or something like that, it would be like, okay, that ties it all in together. But then I think if people find out she's like a clone or just created from the Force, it doesn't really have that compelling of a backstory. And I feel like it'd be like, you know, Rey Skywalker would be like great to put up on a, you know, movie poster for her own standalone movie, but it's just like some like, you know, lab created test tube Rey. Then people are kind of like, whatever. But I think there's a difference between her being a clone of Anakin and her being created by the like Snoke, or if Snoke's Plagueis, because I could see that one happening. Even though I wouldn't really like it, I couldn't see being a clone of Anakin because that's just like, it's just too much for me.
Well, we could have like, that'd be a very classic movie plot if they do it where Snoke created her. And then like, that would be a side story of like the person who raised Rey, like smuggling her off because he knows Snoke's going to use her for evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't have to be the same character. I think being created by the Force would be intriguing. I just like, everyone's looking to tie it directly to Anakin. And quite honestly, like Anakin's story's over, right? I mean, there's really nowhere else to go with Anakin. So him being a, you know, Snoke or him being someone else's parent just doesn't make much sense unless he appears as a Force ghost as Hayden Christensen, which is fan service, but would be pretty dope.
Which I am thinking he will. I don't know. I have a hunch he's going to be in this movie.
Yeah.
That would be
secret casting.
I would love to see Ghost Yoda and Ghost Anakin and even like Ghost Ewan McGregor, even though they didn't like officially retcon that him in the last movie. So yeah. digitally animated Sir Alec Guinness.
The four big ones. Luke, obviously. Han and Leia. Granddaughter of Obi-Wan. Because a lot of people get angry when you say Obi-Wan. They're like, well, no, the age doesn't work. That's not possible. Well, it's the idea that it would be the granddaughter of Obi-Wan. And then the granddaughter of the Emperor. I don't really want her to be a Skywalker. I think the Skywalker lineage needs to kind of stop. I think we need to kind of have our own new track.
Yeah.
The idea of her being the granddaughter of Obi-Wan or the Emperor, I love. I pick the Emperor first, honestly. The way she fights, that's how Palpatine fought in Revenge of the Sith. He kind of fought more like he was fencing. He kind of did like stabbing motions. So the way she fights is similar. Now, that's kind of a tough thing to connect. It's not like she watched game film on Palpatine and like learned how to fight like him. You know, it would just kind of have to be like a natural, like instinct thing. So
Palpatine could fly off the edge, man. He had a quick first step.
He did.
He killed two Jedi right off the bat.
I think they like him as a prospect. So that's I don't know. So you guys go into yours. But my pick is the Emperor followed by Obi-Wan.
I think the Emperor that would be the one that would have the least gymnastics in the storytelling, because if it was Luke, then you got to go into like, okay, who did Luke have the kid with? Okay, what happened to them? If it was Han and Leia, it's okay, well, why doesn't Kylo Ren know about her? Or maybe he does. Or, you know, why didn't Han immediately recognize her as his kid? Which might be hard if you give the kid up as an infant. I think if it was Palpatine's, like, offspring or something like that, you have this interesting case where you could say she's, like, inherently from the dark side but learns to kind of be more good, whereas, like, every other character was kind of starting light side and then got corrupted by the dark side.
That definitely has legs in as far as I think you have the two kids that are raised in different environments, and Kylo, if they're both from Han and Leia, Kylo goes to evil and then Rey goes to good. I think that would be pretty interesting just because based on the environments they had. I think the biggest thing that kind of almost debunks her as being Han and Leia's kid is her first interactions with Han, like immediately knowing everything to do with the Millennium Falcon, and like he likes her so much. He's like, they have a lot of same mannerisms and they're talking, finish each other's sentences and everything, but he has like no, like how would he have no idea that like not put the pieces together that she's also on Jakku and that's where he abandoned her,
right?
So I think that's where that theory, for at least in my thought, kind of ends. But I'm sure there's like they can make like three different degrees removed between him and whoever left her on Jakku.
And you talk about gymnastics too with like if it's Han and Leia, the way Obi-Wan was able to kind of lie to Luke worked because he could come back as a Force ghost and explain, you know, why he kind of pulled him one way when the truth was another way. You can't do that with Han. I mean, Han's dead. I guess Leia can say it, but they said they're not going to really address her parentage in this movie. I guess maybe Leia, but I mean, again, with Carrie Fisher dead, I mean, it's, she could be a Force ghost and she's Force sensitive, I guess, but I don't know. There's that's really hard to get around the Han and Leia one. And Luke especially too, because I just, the way he looks at her, I don't know. I just don't think he's so unwelcoming to her. And Mark Hamill said that he just doesn't want her on that island. So I don't see how it's either of those. I would probably rank Obi-Wan, the Emperor, and her being created from the Force as the three most likely ones at this point.
Again, like if you tied into the Obi-Wan movie, maybe there would be more backstory as to like why she, you know, was left there or whatnot. But I think it would be more interesting if she wasn't, just because I would prefer her being from Palpatine, his lineage, or her being created by the Force. I think with just Obi-Wan, it's kind of like Obi-Wan's story. We feel like we already know it, right? And then there's some like gaps we need to fill in that we could do that. But to say, okay, well, then Obi-Wan married somebody and then he had a kid and the kid got stuffed away. I feel like that's too much almost for Obi-Wan.
Yeah, because I think the only way you do that is, like you said, you explain it in the Obi-Wan movie.
Right. Yeah. But I feel like with Obi-Wan, when I think of Obi-Wan, he's kind of like a monk, you know? He being a Jedi, you know, when he's abandoned on Tatooine is like his lifestyle. He's got the Jedi clout. And for him to like have a secret life where he has a kid and then that kid grows up and has another kid and that's Rey. I mean, that's just almost like, you know, too much for like two more movies, you know?
Yeah, it's getting sort of contrived almost, which not again that's something they're adverse to in the lovely world of Star Wars.
But I don't put it past any of them, but you know, I'm thinking about it though, and I'm like, you know, my initial like when The Force Awakens was coming out, I'm like, yeah, Rey's definitely a Skywalker because it would make the most sense from a marketing perspective, and when you're creating a character to have like, you know, this is the next Skywalker, and oh, by the way, she could be even more powerful. Then you open up a new possibility for like more franchises to come. But then I'm like, you know, I thought about it more after The Force Awakens, which I thought was great, by the way. I know a lot of people have mixed feelings about it. It doesn't matter for Rey. I mean, she is who she is. Like her backstory has a lot of intrigue, but she doesn't have to be a Skywalker. She doesn't have to be a Kenobi to, you know, be an important person in the Star Wars universe. The mystery, honestly, is part of the fun. So that's why I'm hoping it's not like some convoluted backstory that needs like 15 minutes explaining. And then I hope it does provide like some emotional connection for her. You know, like one I've heard is like her parents somehow, because there's a huge tie-in with what happened with, you know, the Knights of Ren and Luke's teachings. And like, you know, Rey being there and being able to see it through the Force back. You know, maybe her parents were evil or part of, you know, the dark side, and then she had to be hidden away by Luke because he killed them or something like that. I'm not sure. But then again, that's convoluted too. So yeah. I go back to it being like, you know, some simple explanation over than, you know, saying, let's create a whole new movie to explain it.
I was curious, have any Sith like had kids other than Anakin? That was Anakin's like big, almost kind of like thing for trading sides, is like he wanted to be able to get married and have like, I'm not sure if having kids is on his plan or anything, but I don't know that any other Sith in the regular universe had a child.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Did Palpatine fuck? Like, I don't think. Yeah.
You know, what was that like?
Yeah.
So I think Snoke, we voted on, I think, Plagueis, right? I think that was kind of the one that we all kind of agreed on. Mm-hmm. And with Rey, I think we're kind of agreeing on the Emperor, the Force. Any last comments before we wrap those two up and we go kind of quick hit on the other theories, because there's a few ridiculous theories, namely involving, for me, Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru that I want to get to.
I don't want to waste any more time. I want to get right into that.
We'll get to the Uncle Owen one, but there's a few theories that exist out there. The big one is Benicio del Toro, like who is his character? Ezra Bridger is the big one for that. That's where the Ezra theory makes the most sense, I think. I know the ages may not line up with like Benicio, because Ezra is supposed to be about the same age as Luke. And obviously Mark Hamill looks fairly old in The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. But I think Benicio's character from the promo images we've seen looks pretty old too. I think that'd be a really cool tie-in if like Ezra just kind of is a cast-off after Rebels and just hangs out in the universe and is kind of a shady character who knows some things and can help out Finn and the new character Rose. And
they've just been so shady with who is like explaining who his character is for,
yeah, he obviously like, has some connection, like there's something there, because they are so secretive about it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and I've heard where he kind of just plays down the middle and isn't necessarily good or bad, right? Like, so maybe an anti-hero of sorts.
Yeah, I want, that's maybe the theory I want most to be true, like in terms of like the sub theories, not the overall Rey and Snoke one. I would like Ezra to be that. And then it kind of gets ridiculous after that. There's no other like good theories after that one. Luke is really Kylo Ren. People still think that might be the case. I don't.
What's the explanation on that? That he can like, is he like Bran Stark or something? Can he just like?
Yeah, he's manipulating through another person.
Apologies potion version of Star Wars.
And that's the thing. It's like, how did that theory? Because that theory was a thing for Force Awakens. Because in the initial promo art
you have no,
and images for Kylo Ren, you didn't know if it really was Adam Driver, like as if they just paid Adam Driver to pretend to be in Star Wars for a few months. And like afterwards, like, I'm going back to girls.
That promo art was so cool though.
Yeah.
That original. Yeah,
great.
Yeah. I don't know. Obviously I don't like that one.
Well, related to Kylo, there's the other one that Han actually pulled the trigger on the lightsaber.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That's been debunked. This is not a podcast trying to get people to buy the novelization of The Force Awakens. But in that book, as I've now mentioned it maybe four or five times, it does mention that Kylo himself ignites the lightsaber. Mm-hmm. And I actually don't think you can ignite Kylo's lightsaber with a button. I believe it's through the Force.
Oh.
So okay. I don't think Han could do that anyway.
I don't know if you have this on your topic, but did you see that pop figurine of Luke and he has like a red gem necklace?
Oh, yes. Yep.
That's kind of cool.
Pop, right?
Yeah. So the theory there is that, you know, Kylo's lightsaber is what's the official word for it? It's kind of broken, right? it's fuzzier compared to other lightsabers. And so, you know, the thought was like, did his Kyber crystal get broken in that fight for Luke? And is he trying to restore it? I don't know, but that's kind of a cool little tidbit.
You see, that's a great one because I feel like the Kyber crystal hasn't really been introduced. It hasn't.
In Rogue One, that's about it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. in Rogue One. And it hasn't really been introduced in the main trilogies yet, but it's very prevalent in the Clone Wars and in Rebels. That is a good theory. That's another one that would be really cool to see, that tie-in.
Well, I mean, the new canon right in the book is that, like, essentially someone would bond to their Kyber crystal and the color of your lightsaber is determined by that bond. That's another one for like, I think it's also why they're so secretive about, you know, we still see when we see Rey with a lightsaber, it's with Luke's old lightsaber. And there's a lot of talk of like, does Luke have a new lightsaber or does he use his green one? I personally don't think Luke will use a lightsaber. At least not in this one, even though I want him to, because I think they want to show like how powerful he is without it. Yeah. But I think then you get into a scene of like going back to the gray Jedi, you know, and the promo art showing like the blue lightsaber blending in with Kylo's red is, you know, do you see that like white lightsaber like that? What is it? Ahsoka?
Yeah. Ahsoka Tano, who was in Clone Wars. She was Anakin's apprentice. Then she's in Rebels and she is last seen fighting Darth Vader with the white lightsaber because she doesn't really associate with anybody.
Right. So I think like that would be like an interesting exploration of that. Like you could show that whole process and, you know, not only have to explain it, but like see Rey with the white lightsaber. Cause I do feel like she'll get her own at some point. And it's kind of like the marketing leading up to The Force Awakens. You only really saw Finn with the lightsaber. And I know the plot to that leaked like way, way early. I mean, people pretty much knew what was going to happen there. So I'm kind of amazed that they've been able to keep it secret this
time. Yeah, they really locked down The Last Jedi because you haven't seen a leak like that that makes sense, really. You've seen some rumors, but everything's been pretty much debunked. Because Force Awakens, I mean, if you really wanted to know what happened, you were able to know pretty far in advance.
So we hadn't really seen anything like that, but I do think they're going to get into kind of going back to the pop figurine with like the necklace. I do think they might go into the Kyber crystal thing a little more and explain why Kylo's lightsaber is all jacked up.
Yeah, I remember that was a full episode in Clone Wars, right, where like that was part of the Padawan training was you assembling your own lightsaber, you getting your own crystal from that planet and everything.
Yeah.
So that would be cool if they introduced that.
So Ezra has to get a Kyber crystal as well in Rebels. The next one we'll look at is Poe Dameron is a double agent, which is such like a out of like a Triple X or Fast and the Furious movie, just like this guy who is so clearly on the good side. He's like a jokey guy kind of having fun, and all of a sudden at the end he like, you know, steps out of the dark shadow and he's got the gun pointed at everybody saying, I gotcha. Yeah, that's so people are saying that he could be a double agent because how did he crash that TIE fighter then all of a sudden come back? So that's what people are going on.
Well, going back to the Triple X thing, like I'd love to see a scene of him doing like parkour or DMX like running through like Snoke's Star Destroyer and there's just like X gonna give it to you is playing in the background and he's just like flipping over people. It's real
that's
extreme.
A great video. He's got a video on YouTube of that where from Rogue One where like the rest of the Imperial fleet arrives and like smashes through the whatever those water aliens, like the it's a trap race guy.
Yeah, Admiral Akbar's.
That smashes through Admiral Akbar's fleet and, like, immediately plays X is going to give it to you and smashes through the top.
By the way, make sure to go out and buy Triple X, Return of Xander Cage on Blu-ray. It is a fantastic movie.
Do not buy State of the Union. Did you guys see that one? What was it Ice Cube?
Yeah, it was with Ice Cube. He may or may not be in the new Triple X. Spoiler alert. I'm just telling you, you wanna check that movie out.
I pre-ordered the box set on Amazon, and I'm still waiting for it.
Classic trilogy.
Yeah.
We already talked about Mace Windu. Mace Windu still being alive. We kind of touched on that. Sam Jackson has taken the liberty to tell everybody he thinks his character is still alive. Like, George told me he could be alive. So I don't know. He wants people to believe that Mace is still alive, which I guess, I mean, Jedi can leap from great heights.
He did this, yeah, Anakin did the same exact thing, of course, on episode 2, where he just, like, jumps out of the racer and just, like, lands, like, I don't know. Like, he was also electrocuted, like, the shit out of him. So I don't know. That's a good bearing.
He landed in the awning of a space diner. tying it back.
You're hanging out with Dexter Jester. Yeah.
There's like a whole movie of them just having another Tarantino-like conversation in the diner. Someone else walks in and the movie just cuts.
Yeah, Christoph Waltz is recast as Dexter Jester. There's actually in that diner scene, this is another line in the movies. They say, "Hey, hun, you want a cup of Jawa juice?" Which is funny, and it brings me back to something that I always say that I have an issue with the prequels, is that so much from the original movies, you only knew about it because it was given names later on. But in the damn prequels, they wanted to name everything, and they wanted to point everything out. And that's why when she says Jawa juice, you're just like, it doesn't just say, do you want something to drink or eat? And it was so pointed out, and it's lines like that just ruined everything.
And you have this entire universe, right? And so you're going to pick these, like, these foragers off of Tatooine. And, you know, is it like an Anthony Bourdain type, like, universe, like, each show? Where he's like, you know, now I'm going to go look at the Jawa juice. And, like, he's just in the sand crawler just being poured this dirty cup of, like, gray juice out of, like, a robot skull. And then they find out about it that way. Like, how would you even find out about Jawa juice? There's got to be better things to drink.
Frogman. Well, we're missing the best of it. It would be Guy Fieri going to the diner with Dexter. There needs to be a cut of Guy Fieri going to Dexter Jester's diner and just hanging out there with, like, the backwards glasses, like, rolling up on his hover speeder.
He's like, I got the apple cider vinegar, and he's like, oh yeah, the ACV. You're right. There's so many cringeworthy things in the prequels that were simply just based off of someone saying, I know that, like, I recognize that name. And it's just like George Lucas just trying to, like, wink at you. And God, and that's why I love the Red Letter Media reviews. They hold up so well, because he just 90 minutes of a YouTube video, and he just absolutely destroyed every second of those movies.
Okay. So the last two, we'll get into them. I had never read these ever until earlier today. One of them is Boba Fett killed Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru, which I guess the theory is that stormtroopers, how do they set everything on fire? You saw that
they Boba Fett in that one scene, right? And
They destroy the Jawas. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's, I don't really know why. Maybe she was cooking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Owen's like, you know, where'd Luke go? And she's like cooking her, like, lettuce in a cup or something. Yeah. And maybe they shot the oven and the oven exploded or something.
And that's my biggest pet peeve with, like, Star Wars fans in general. And I do this too, but, like, not everything. I mean, it's a gigantic galaxy. Not everything needs to happen by the hand of someone you know. Like, doesn't always need to time. And that was George Lucas's thing with, like, it's like rhyming, it's like poetry, it's like rhyming and all that. Like, Boba Fett, just because we know Boba Fett, doesn't need to kill these tertiary characters in the Star Wars universe.
It's like they set him up to do that. Like, hey, what's my role here? You got to burn this house down and kill these two old innocent people who were just farming.
They didn't make their galactic speeder payments on time. So, you know, we're going to repossess. And the whole thing just went horribly south.
The last one we'll touch on here before we wrap this whole thing up is, you just touched on it, Trill, is that everything needs to be like a callback for some fans. And so apparently if you watch A New Hope and you look up while Luke, Uncle Owen, Aunt Beru are eating, you see this like black design painted on the ceiling. And it apparently looks sort of like Darth Maul's skin. So there's this theory that Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru are in cahoots with Darth Maul. And because he just showed up in Rebels very close to Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen's like farm where Luke is. So there's a new theory that they're in cahoots with Darth Maul and they want Darth Maul to kill Obi-Wan, which is the most twisted, messed up theory that you could possibly imagine. Like, why would they not, like, instead of just lying to Luke and never telling him about Obi-Wan Kenobi, they're just going to be like, no, we need him to die. We're going to go with this Sith Lord who came back to life, and we're going to make sure he kills Obi-Wan.
I was just going to say, like, they probably had, like, a 2 million credit life insurance policy put out in Luke, and they just hired Darth Maul as a hitman. And then, like, he failed, and then they just decided to put his skin up on their wall, which is, like, a completely normal person thing to do when you have, like, a young child like Luke. It's like, yeah. What's that? Oh, just don't worry about it. Just some skin.
Well, we know that Maul has been to Tatooine at least twice. So he was there in Phantom Menace, for sure. Maybe that was the first point of contact with who was that played?
Joel Edgerton.
Yeah, Joel Edgerton was one of the most, like, how much did he get paid for that role?
By the way, when I was reading this theory, somebody mentioned that, and they said, Joel Edgerton from the Avatar movie. He was not an
not
Avatar.
Not an Avatar. Because he was Sam Worthington? Or?
Yeah, that was Sam Worthington. He was definitely not an Avatar.
The whole driving force behind the sequel trilogy movies is just Nuke Gunray wanting another blockade. He's like, you screwed up the first one. I need this blockade.
The inflation in the flitry planet is too high. We need to come back. Oh, okay.
I forgot how bad those accents were.
Oh, it was so, and like, it's amazing. Cause, I mean, I saw it. I mean, I was not even 10 years old when I saw it. And it never dawned on me until later in life. Like, oh my God, this is horrible.
Yeah, those
like,
are bad puppets too.
How did he get away with this? The opening crawl for Phantom Menace here, I'll say this before we finish up. I have it up in one of my favorite things about George Lucas defending the prequels is that they were for kids. But the opening line, this is what I always reference, of the opening crawl is, turmoil has engulfed the Galactic Republic. The taxation of trade routes to outlying star systems is in dispute. The taxation of trade routes. It's like the Greedy Trade Federation. It's unbelievable that he tried to sell that as a kid's
Wait,
movie.
The best part is like, read the tagline at the top, that juxtaposed against that line. What is it? Every generation
has a legend, every journey has a first step, every saga has a beginning. Boom.
The beginning.
Taxation of trade routes.
Yeah, taxation and tariffs on trade routes in the Galactic and the Galactic Republic.
Again, going back to those red letter media reviews, all of that makes sense when you see how people treated George Lucas. Because nobody there was like, this is stupid, George. You can't do this. And then you get like what we had, which is, you know, Jar Jar Binks is a senator. Like high energy, but like a senator. And you know what? After I will say this. The second one, the Attack of the Clones, was so bad. It actually makes the Phantom Menace feel kind of fun.
So I think the one thing maybe we should probably do before we wrap, but is to have our own individual rankings of the movies and where we place them right now.
I can do it. Okay. Do I include the Rogue One? I'm so old. I'm like the Rogue One.
The Rogue One.
The Rogue One.
I have Rogue One in mind.
Yeah. So Empire Strikes Back, I mean, that's a fan favorite. That's number one. Then I'd probably go A New Hope is number two. And then I place The Force Awakens as three. Mm-hmm. Then Rogue One is four. And then Return of the Jedi, which I'm not huge on. I mean, I liked, but eh. And then The Revenge of the Sith, then Phantom Menace, then the worst of them all is Attack of the Clones. I mean, so awful.
You and I are dead on except for the last two. So I actually, and I rate them. So number eight for me was Phantom Menace. And I don't know why. I think it's because it's laced with disappointment. And it started all the nonsense that followed it. I gave it a 51 out of 100. Attack of the Clones, I gave a 52. So, I mean, they're really both the same movie. Mm. Revenge of the Sith was six. Give it a 68. And then it just jumps up. Return of the Jedi, gave it an 85. Rogue One, number four, 87. Force Awakens in 92, Number two for me is A New Hope, 99. And then I think Empire Strikes Back is a perfect movie. It's 100 out of 100. It's just, it's unbelievable. And I hope so much that not the same ideas and not the same storylines and, you know, the way things play out as Empire Strikes Back, but I hope The Last Jedi has the same tone of just being of dark and so smart. And it's such an incredible movie. And I think it's an easy number one for me. Even though it's only, I give it a point higher than A New Hope, but Empire Strikes Back is just, it's a different level. And that's just beyond Star Wars movies.
Yeah, the best thing about ESP is that it kind of encapsulated what Lucas's original idea was, which is for it to be a space opera, where it's like it has its own acts and like different divisions into it. And like it was perfect in that sense, where it had a great and just like immaculate blend, which almost in every other one got really fucked up. But that one is definitely perfect.
It was, it felt new. I mean, of course, I didn't see it until like years later. But like, if you've never seen Star Wars before and you watched A New Hope, then Empire Strikes Back, you'd watch Empire Strikes Back and say, this feels new, but it still feels like Star Wars, right? You get Hoth, you get Dagobah, you get Cloud City. So you have like different locations that kind of get you off of like the Tatooine planet and the, you know, the Death Star and whatever. But it also still like, it still feels like everything's designed, like the whole design of Cloud City and then the battle at the end is just like phenomenal. So I said Clown City, man. That would be a bad Star Wars. That'd be a bad Star Wars location. A bunch of clowns like, I use the dark side. You just have like, you have Rey like slash you. Oh, my hand.
He spouts it out and it's like balloons come out.
Oh, no. Are you peddling for the new It movie right now? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. I'm guerrilla marketing for a whole bunch of different brands right now. I'm just trying to.
I think for my rankings, mine's more or less the same on your guys' lines. My big swap is I do Empire Strikes Back, New Hope, Force Awakens. But then I wrote one a lot lower. I didn't enjoy it as much as I had nearly hoped. So I have, after Force Awakens, Return of the Jedi, Rogue One, then just probably Revenge of the Sith. I have Phantom Menace above Attack of the Clones. It's like Jeff saying, like, essentially the same movie, just Attack of the Clones was just, like, Attack of the Clones was just so bad from a dialogue standpoint. It's like, it is unbelievable how poorly it was written. But Rogue One, I have above. Sand is coarse and unrefined. I hate it! Like, all right, you goddamn bitch.
And then he's kidding.
Goddamn bitch.
He's riding those giant, like, bull testicle animals on Naboo. Yeah, really just.
I think that if you view the prequels as, like, basically, like, redneck SEC fans, like, growing it, like, because you got, like, you know, you got someone coming from the you know, sand planet, and then they grow up and they have a mullet with a rat tail. and it just kind of makes more sense.
Yeah, definitely makes a little more sense with that. You ever see when they shaved Ewan McGregor's head to give him the rat tail thing in Phantom Menace?
It's just,
it's so funny. And he's like, yeah, this is like a defining part of like you're being a Padawan. Like literally this string of hair coming out the side of my goddamn head.
And the thing about those is that it's not like he set that up in the original trilogy where he's like, oh shit, I have to do the rat tail thing in the prequel.
Yeah.
He made it a organic thing. And that just, see that, the whole monk thing from, like, I'm fine with, like, Obi-Wan going into exile. Like, that's great. Like, when you, I think you referenced it earlier, too, like, when he's a monk. Like, that's great. But the idea that they're like that beforehand, and they're, like, just weird people.
That's such, like, a 1990s thing, too, is, like, you know, there's this huge explosion in, like, cloning, and, you know, it had Dolly the Sheep, which I forget what year that was. And then you had Jurassic Park. So it became this huge part of pop culture. And I think it's been around ever since, but like the movies had to have like some scientific explanation for magic, which is just like, just let magic be magic. You don't have to explain force through like cell count. Like, do you get like an over the counter test kit for midichlorians? do I like pee on a stick and it's like, you're force sensitive. Like, oh great. Like I got to go find Yoda now.
So yeah, I think the beach pretty much wrap it up since we went like an hour and a half.
Like that. Yeah, thanks. If you're listening to this Star Wars pod.
That's what happens when you get me on a podcast. Go off on tangents. It's part of my brand.
I hope that this becomes a more continuing thing because Star Wars is just such an integral part of pop culture and movies, cinema culture, and everything like that.
Yeah, people want to talk about different theories and different things.
Yeah, we're more than welcome to talk about
it. Hit us up on oldtwitter.com.
Yes.
The most fun part about Star Wars being announced is all the pre-release speculation. Yeah. And seeing the movie's fun too, but like, there's just so much nerd stuff to discuss that I have a good time doing it. So thank you guys.
Well, we can do it. If people want to hear it, we can do like a trailer breakdown when it comes out in the fall and connect some of these theories. Maybe new Gunray's in the trailer. So it could help us really connect everything together.
We do a frame by frame breakdown with at least 5 minutes on every single frame, and we'd still probably maybe hit half the time it would took on this podcast already.
You have a Luke voiceover, and he's like, I know one thing's for certain. The trade blockade must end. Luke became this like liberal hippie Jedi and like in old age, he's like super conservative now. And he's like, the trade blockade is necessary in order to reduce my Jedi taxes. He's just sitting there. And that's why he doesn't want to see Rey. He's just tired of the youth. It's like these millennials are killing the Jedi.
These damn Occupy Coruscant people, they're just so annoying.
Earlier. Yeah.
I like the Reddit forum that is like the Empire did nothing wrong. Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
It's basically people dissecting everything. Like, the aggressive rebels provoked violence in like Endor and slaughtered a bunch of Ewoks unnecessarily. Then had a big fire at the end, which burned down all the forest, and they're the good guys.
Oh, we need an Alex Jones take on.
They're turning the jaw. They're turning the jaw.
Turning the freaking jaw was gay.
The midichlorian count's too high.
Visit Infowars.com, press planet.